Cast off the soiled shirt and put on clean linen. The European Union and funding of COVID-19. Writing in the Irish Times of April the 17th, Spanish academic Javier Servaz described the European Union's response to the COVID-19 pandemic as having been slow, stingy and fearful. It was a view shared by many, especially those in southern Europe. Indeed, Italian Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte went so far as to suggest that the response was so inadequate that it put a question mark over the bloc's future. Such sentiments are hardly surprising, given the fact that in those early days, China and Cuba provided more practical assistance to hard-hit Italy than any of their European neighbours. Worried by mounting criticism, the EU Commission made a belated, almost begrudging attempt to address the issue. It did so, not by converting industry towards the manufacture of PPE and safe accommodation for the elderly, but by offering incentives to the private sector and promising an economic recovery fund. Even at that, and 5 months after the first cases were identified on the continent, the nature of the recovery fund rollout is still causing dissent among member states. The response, nevertheless, neatly captures the essence of the European Union, an organisation designed to promote and safeguard the interests of capital, regardless of the needs of the masses. Two factors in particular assist EU power brokers maintain influence over the southern Irish state, and that's even as we experience an acute health crisis. In the first instance, too many people have been led to believe that economics is an esoteric and difficult to grasp science. This misconception, coupled with the self-interest of our native comprador bourgeoisie, supported intellectually and politically by centrist social democrats, helps the neoliberal system to continue. And just as in medieval Europe, when the clergy held sway thanks in large part to widespread illiteracy, modern Europe's rulers depend on misleading the populace into believing that they alone are able to understand and manage the workings of the economy. A well-practiced routine is to speak gravely of seemingly huge sums of money. The European Union's promise of a €750 billion COVID-19 recovery fund is a good example of this and how it is playing out in this country. However, let's put this fund into context. The promised sum is less than 5.5% of the European Union's GDP for 2019. Moreover, only a portion, 66%, of that amount will be available as grant aid, and the rest distributed as loans to be repaid. At present, Ireland has been promised €3 billion, or 0.4% of the total amount. Even if the Dublin government were to have this doubled, it would still be less than 1% of what is available. Bear in mind, too, that the Irish restaurant sector alone is asking for €1.8 billion to stave off major redundancies. And in passing, we might also remind ourselves that in 2010, the Republic of Ireland was forced by the European Union to pay 42% of the total cost of the European banking crisis, at a cost of close to €9,000 per person in this state. Solidarity, how are you? What, therefore, are we to make of assurances from the Irish Troika of Vradker, Martin and Ryan, assurances that there will be no return to austerity? It is, in reality, difficult to see how they intend to restore the economy to a pre-pandemic status, a status which in itself was far from ideal. Because every indicator is pointing to a recession of alarming proportions. The Irish tourist and hospitality sectors are not going to recover anytime soon. Agriculture will be impacted detrimentally by a Tory Brexit, as Johnson and Cummings strive frantically to appease US trade negotiators by accepting cheap, dubiously produced poultry and beef. Every service outlet, from dentist to hairdresser, will have increased virus preventative costs to meet from a restricted customer base. Add to this the cost of additional pandemic-related social security payments are now running at more than 30 billion euro, and you get the picture. The only area where there is a reasonable prospect of raising the revenue required to rejuvenate the economy is from taxing large multinationals, and especially those in the high-tech and pharmaceutical sectors. Yet this is one path that Fine Gael has set its face firmly against, putting it to the right of the neoliberal European Union Commission. RTE recently reported that Leo Varadkar will resist Brussels' mooted proposals to introduce a digital tax, tax for large corporations, and a one-off tax for multinationals. Of course, austerity is not inevitable, but it would, however, require an entirely different economic system to that presided over by our Leinster House Troika, and as evidenced by their proposed programme for government. The fact is that, notwithstanding the fatuous talk of addressing housing, health and childcare, there will be no significant improvement in these areas for working people. This Troika so-called economic recovery is predicated on a low-wage economy reinforced by unemployment and depressing the social wage. As with all other crises in the past, working people will be expected to pay for this pandemic with poorly paid employment, public service cutbacks, and reduced expenditure on social and physical infrastructure. Adherence to European Union strictures and regulations would be cited as a convenient explanation for retaining or even expanding the private sector into every aspect of economic life. Membership of the European Union entails submitting to stringent neoliberal economics, economics that demand free market dominance across society. We are now familiar with this in areas once the prerogative of the state: electricity, telecommunications, public transport, tolled roads are all now profit-making investments for the wealthy. The same applies to housing, health, childcare and nursing homes for the elderly. While this harsh economic regime is welcomed by Ireland's ruthless and greedy bourgeoisie, it raises a question over the political trajectory of our Social Democrats. Not, mind you, that we should confine our definition of Social Democrat to the party led by Roisin Shortall. It applies to all those parties committed to remaining within the political and economic parameters dictated by the European Union. In other words, those parties that remain wedded to the capitalist mode of production, albeit with some tinkering at the edges. So for all their demands for change, their programmes will change nothing of significance, since they are, in the words of Lenin, loath to cast off the dear old soiled shirt that they have worn for so long. There is, though, a programme that will bring about change that allows us to fund a people's recovery from COVID-19 and every other setback. We've known about it for a long time, and it's called socialism. After all, it is well past time to cast off the soiled shirt and put on clean linen, and at last let us know which side you're on.